Okay, so H is what?
0100111.
No, H is the eighth letter, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what is this going to be?
1000.
1000, because it's the eighth letter. Okay, whoever told me that was giving me seventh letter. Okay, and as opposed to eighth. So that's an H. And again, if I look over at the chat, the 48 makes sense because there's a 4 and there's an 8. So it's 48 in hex. So I know I got it right. Okay, the E is what?
0100101.
Right. Because now what I'm doing is 010 I know, and I'm turning on the 4 and the 1, make a 5. And so I've got 45. And if I come over here and look at E, it's indeed a 45 in hex. So an L is what?
1100.
Because it's the 12th, so I turn on the 8 and the 4, and when I go and look at an L, it's a 4C. Okay, there's the 4, and there's the C. 1100 is the C, because A is 10, B is 11, C is 12. Okay, and so the next L is going to be the same. What's O going to be?
0100111.
One, say that again.
It's O, 1111.
Right. Okay, so that's the 15th letter, and so it's all ones. So that's going to be, and I've got an extra zero in there. Anyway, okay, so that's an O. And so if I look at a capital O over here, it says 4F. And that's exactly what I've got. If I look at that, that's a 4, that's an F. So it's 4F. Okay. Questions. And you could have done this with decimal. With decimal, when you do it, I did that with the A. You just write 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, and you can do the conversion with decimal. Okay? But I think hex is a lot easier, so I tend to do the conversion in hex. And the world thought it was a lot easier because that's why hex came into being. Questions? Okay, so if I write what are the letters for that? I have no idea what they are. I didn't do it that way. I just wrote combinations. So what letters do those come up with?
I
What are the letters?
MIW.
MIW. So this is MIW. And the way you can do that is I have the 8, the 4, and the 1 turned on. And so that's 13. And so it's the 13th letter in the alphabet. Okay? And the 13th letter turns out to be M if you do it on your fingers. Okay? The other thing I can look at is 13 is a D. And a 4D, if I come over to the chart, 4D tells me it's an M. So I can figure it out that way as well. So for if I have the chart. But if I don't have the chart, it is the 14th letter. So it's the 14th letter. No, 15th letter, sorry. It's the 14th letter. And I can use my fingers to find out what the 13th letter is. Okay? So the next one is an I. The 8 and the 1 are on, so that tells me it's the 9th letter. And the 9th letter is I, so this is the 9th letter. And then the next one, the 16 is on, the 4 is on, the 2 is on, and the 1 is on. So that makes 23, so it's the 23rd letter. Okay, which is a W.
Okay. I'm confused on how you get the numbers for the binary, like the 16 and 4 and 2.
The powers of 2. Let me just put the 4 in there so that it looks right. It's the powers of 2. Okay, so 1. Okay. If you go back to the handout that I gave out on Thursday, last Thursday. Numbering systems and codes. Okay, it's all powers of 2. 2 to the 0 is defined as 1. 2 to the 1st is 2. 2 squared is 4. 2 cubed is 8. 2 to the 4th is 16, and it keeps going on like that. So that's where they come from, okay, is powers of 2. And if you put those all out, you can convert to decimal. When you get to hexadecimal, let's see where I've got converting from binary to hex. Okay. There's converting from binary to hex. And when you're converting from binary to hex, you just take 4 characters because there's a rule that every hexadecimal was chosen because one hexadecimal character can be represented in 4 binary characters. And every group of 4 binary characters can be represented with 1 hex. And so when I take and I divide this in half, it's 1, 2, 4, 8, 1, 2, 4, 8. And that's how I get the 1, 2, 4, 8 when I'm converting to hexadecimal. But then I kind of have to use more of a decimal approach when I am looking at the first 2, 3 tell me what group it's in. The last 5 tell me which. I need to go over and grab 5 characters. So it goes 1, 2, 4, 8, 16.
Okay. It makes sense now. So it's always going to go into that order of 64, 32, 16. Like, it'll never, like, skip around, like, take.
No. It's always the powers of 2. It's always the powers of 2. And then you can see the numbers are in the 30s, 31, 32, 33. So the numbers are over there. So if I have the number zero is a 30, so a 30 is 0, 0, 1, 1, that's a 3, and 0, 0, 0, 0, that's a 0. A 1 is 0, 0, 1, 1, because that's a 3, 0, 0, 0, 1. Down through a 9 is going to be 0, 0, 1, 1, 1, 0, 0, 1. Okay, which is a hexadecimal 39. So that's how the numbers go. And that pattern is the pattern that we're going to see for numbers. The 001 is giving me numbers, although there are some special characters added in there as well. Okay, because the special characters are all over the place. So again, these are the actual characters, and if you jump memory, you're going to see it in binary, or you can request a hexadecimal dump, and you'll see it in hexadecimal, which can be easily converted to binary. Questions? Okay. Honest, no more questions? Okay, then we are going to move on. The homework that I gave you in this wonderful. Can you bring it up? There it is. All right. I was trying to figure out where that was. Okay, this is a dump of memory that I did in hexadecimal. Okay, so this is a memory dump in hex. So I want the first letters there are just line numbers. Here's the hex. So I said, look at that and tell me what I wrote for the first four lines. So that's one of your assignments, is to go in and look at the hex and tell me what I wrote. Tell me the characters. Not tell me the binary, but tell me what I wrote. What the words say. Okay? So a 43 is a C, right? We know that a 41 was an A, a 42 was a B, a 43 was a C. So this first thing here is a C. And then you just go along and tell me what the letters are. And then the next one is going in and out of ASCII and decimal. Okay. So that is the homework assignment. Yeah.
What do you do for the first one on that homework assignment?
Just do the binary math. We did that Thursday. We added up a bunch of stuff. Actually, we didn't do subtraction, did we?
No.
Okay, we'll do a couple of subtractions. Thinking about it, we did not do subtraction. Okay. So, 1, 1, 0, 1, 0. And I want to subtract from it 1, 1, 0. Okay, so 0 from 0 is 0. 1 from 1 is 0. 1 from 0 I can't do. So I have to borrow. So this leaves this a 0, and I bring over 1, 0. 1 from 1, 0 is 1. Nothing from 0 is 0, nothing from 1 is 1. Okay, so that's what I end up with. And then I can double check it by going, adding it up. 0 plus 0 is 0, 0 is 1 is 1, One plus one is 1, 0, put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 0 is 1, bring down the 1. And so this is the same as this, so I did it right. Okay, I did the subtraction and I did it right. You can also convert them to decimal, as we did when we were doing addition. You can convert them to decimal and come up with the decimal equivalent to check and see if it's right. Okay, so that top number is what in decimal? 1, 1, 0, 1, 0, 1, 2, 4, 8, 16. So it's what?
25.
24, 26, I'm getting.
Yeah, 26.
26. So this is 26 minus 6, right? Because 1, 1, 0 is 6. So it's 26 minus 6 is 20. So let's look at the answer, which was 10100. It has a 4 on and a 16 on, which is a 20. Okay, so it is correct from that point of view as well. Okay. So now what if I have... Oops, wait a minute. Okay, try that one. That one's tricky. Sure. Involves a lot of borrowing. The borrow works the same way as it does in decimal, except that when you borrow a 1, 0, it is made up of 2 ones. In decimal, when you borrow a 1, 0, it's made up of 10 ones. So that's the difference. Anybody buy that? Not yet. Anybody got a different answer?
I got
10111. 10111. Anybody got a different answer? Okay. This one, by the way, is what? It's got the 1, 2, 4, 8 and 16 tens on. So it's 24, and 1, 2, and 4 are turned on, so it's 7. So 17 is the answer, right? So from that point of view, the top one is looking good. Because 16 and 1 are turned on, and that makes 17, right? So that one is looking like the right answer. So I start out I can't borrow from, I can't take it from 000, I come all the way over here to borrow. Okay, so I come over there, and this now becomes 10. Then I have to borrow one from that, okay, and it comes over as 10. And 10. So I keep borrowing to do those, okay? So I had to do it, but as I'm borrowing, I reduce them. So if it comes over, what comes over here? 10, right? But then I have to borrow from that, so I only leave one behind, and I've got 10. And I borrow from that and leave one behind, and I have 10. So 1 from 10 is 1. 1 from 1 is 0. 1 from 1 is 0. 0, 1. And that gives me the answer that I had. So I keep borrowing on the 10, but the 10 has to keep being reduced by 1 when I borrow from the next thing. Okay. So that's a hard one. And if you've kept that one, then you can do any of them. Yeah.
So it would be easier to go through, figure out what the hex is, and then...
Well, I figured out the decimal. I actually figured out the decimal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
the
it's...
The side math, and then go back and figure out what the binary is for the answer.
Right.
That's the easiest way.
That's probably the easiest way. It's good to know how to do binary subtraction, but probably you're right. Probably the easiest way is to convert them all and then do the subtraction and say, okay, 17 is my answer. I know how to write 17. And that's legitimate.
Can you do one adding additional?
Yeah, one adding?
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, adding-wise is the other way to check this. Because if I add these up, 1 plus 1 is 10, put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 0, put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 0, put down the 0, carry the 1. 1, 1. So that's, you know, that's the other way that you can do this. Actually, I didn't need to do that. But anyway. Okay. So an addition one that you asked for is 1 1 0 1 1 1 0 1 1 1 1 1 1. Okay. So if you try that. And again, if you remember, the counting has got 1 plus 1 is 10, plus 1 is 11, plus 1 is 100, plus 1 is 101, plus 1 is 110, plus 1 is 111, plus 1 is 1000. And that's keep adding 1 to it. 1 plus 1 is 10, plus 1 more is 11. Plus 1 more is 100, plus 1 more is 101, and keep going, and that helps when you're doing this to remember those things. So what do you come up with for an answer on the end?
I've got 10, 11, 1.
Anybody agree?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That would be 7 and 16, that's 23, right? So, 1 plus 1 is 10, plus 1 is 11. Put down the 1, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 10, plus 1 is 11, plus 1 is 100, plus one is 101. Put down the one, carry the 10. 10 plus one is 11, plus one is 100, plus one is 101. And that's the same answer that we came up with the other way. So it must be right.
Would converting those to decimal help?
Sure. Sure. If you like converting to decimal, you can get a 6, a 7, a 3, and a 7, and add those up, and you get 23. So that is the alternative way to do it. But I'd also like you to play around with the binary just so you get comfortable with binary. Okay? It's good for you, in other words. Okay, questions? Anybody got any more questions? Okay, the portfolio project, and this isn't due for, oh, let's say a month, but this isn't due for a while. But what I want you to do in the portfolio project is go back to HTML, okay? And when you get back to HTML, then you're going to write a beginning kind of portfolio thing. And if you go into examples, or maybe it's not examples. Let's try notes and handouts. There's portfolio. Okay. That's some of the things that you can end up having in a portfolio at some point. And I don't want you to have them all now. I want you to get started. But when you do a portfolio is the thing that you do online that you can use to show people the work that you've done and that sort of thing. And so in the capstone courses in this division, we have you actually make a full portfolio that you can take out and show when you're looking for a job. On this one, I'm just having you start to do that. And so you're going to go in to HTML, and these are under examples. And for example, you can have an index like that. So that could be the front page. You make your own front page. I made this front page. So my name, my email address, my major, my option, a description of what I'm doing, my professional goals, those kinds of things that I put in there to show about me, okay? And obviously this is a very overly simplified one. You do what you want to do. But this is an introduction page that you've got to do. Then if I look at, I've got here, click here to go to the table of contents, and it brings up a second page. So when I do that, if I do view source, okay, this is reviewing how you bring up a second page. Okay, so I've set this up. I've got some CSS in here. I then end the style, end the head, start the body. I put in a bunch of things. And then to link to the next page, I have AH reference equals. And since it's going to be in the same folder or the same directory, all I need is the file name. If I were putting it in a separate directory, then I would have to have an address there. But since I'm going to put it in the same directory, all I need is a file name. Okay, and then I said the words that I want to show up are click here to go to the table of contents, and it will go there. Okay, So that's how I can set up the first page for my portfolio. Okay. Then once I go here to these click, I have a bunch of things I'm clicking, none of which are working. I'm just showing you what you need to put there. So you need to put here some click here to see courses, click here to see da-da-da-da, pick whatever you want to pick, okay? And you're going to click to see things. And so this one is going to be a page that is basically got a lot of addresses, and I just made up things. But you're going to be click here to go to this, click here to go here, and you will go to other pages. Okay? So what I want you to do at this point is to put up the portfolio, the beginnings of it, and I said in the assignment, you should start, you should contain a menu with a link to the database, which we're going to look at, but to a database. You've already done some databases. To two JavaScript problems you've written, and other things for the course. So I think I asked for a total of link to the second page. Okay, so I asked for a database, two JavaScript problems, and some work for another course. Okay, so we've got four things, so the fourth thing can be some link from another course. So you're going to have links in going in there, okay, to work that you've done. So all of this then has to be put up on CIS Web. So you have to put them up on CIS Web and have it link around so that you can give me the address. I can go into the first page, click on things, see other things, and they're all out on CIS Web. Okay? So you've got to put them out on CIS Web. And I said, remember that the port is now 220. Okay? So when if you're doing it at home, if you're doing it here, and you load up using WinSCP, it's already set to 220. But if you download WinSCP at home, make sure that the port is set to 220 for Bristol. And then remember the address is cisweb.bristolcc.edu/tilde/your/username/folder if you made a folder, and /name of the page with a .html extension. You're welcome. You've got to go now?
Yeah,
okay. Okay. But you've got 15 minutes. Okay. So that's how you set up a portfolio, okay? And I want you to start that. That's not due for about a month. It's not going to take that long, but I just want it up and started to go. Okay?
So when's the actual due date? You said about a month?
About a month. So figure a date. 4 weeks from today. Make it 4 weeks from today. I take late work anyway. So,
oh, I know.
You know, about a month works. Okay, I take late work from you. You have to take late homework coming back from me. That's the way the world works. In other words, I goofed off this weekend with the grandkids. And I didn't get a lot back. So, therefore, you have to put up with that, and I have to put up with you. So, that works. Okay? Anybody that does a problem with it has to pass everything in on time. So, there you have it. Nobody has a problem with it, right?
Not a complaint.
Okay. So, the next topic that we're going to get at, and I'm going to just talk about it a little bit, is working with the database. So this week is kind of a return to looking at HTML again, to refresh your mind on HTML, and looking at a database to refresh your mind on Access. And then we will later start Visual Basic and go on, and that will be the last thing in the course, really. the last major thing, at least, is once we get into visual. I gather you like Visual Basic.
I taught myself Visual Basic when I was like 10, 11 years old.
Okay,
and
so.
I fell in love with it, so.
And it's retained, you've retained it since. Because there's been more than one version since you were 10 or 11.
Oh, no, I know. I used to just make like web browsers and like login forms and just
okay.
weird stuff.
No, Visual Basic 6, which is probably where you started around there.
Yeah.
It's a lot different now than it was back then with Visual Basic. But anyway, okay. So, what we're going to talk about is, and we're going to work on the database in class on Thursday, is normalization. Okay. Basically, the world is that you have to follow certain rules when you put multiple tables in a database. So a database, when we worked with, has one table. We were assuming only one table. Now we're going to talk about multiple tables in a database because that's really the way it works. Okay? So the first rule of setting up a relational database is that a relation is in first normal form if it does not contain repeating groups. Okay, it's in first normal form if it does not contain repeating groups. So, that means, for example, if I were to do a record of you as a student, and I said, I'm going to put aside 20 slots for you to take courses, so you can take 20 courses. Okay? Problem is, what happens if you want to take 21 courses? I don't have a slot for the 21 courses. So that's for the problem with repeating groups, is that repeating groups makes you pick the max, and you always have a problem. And I always tell the story about I made a phone call to order something, and I wanted to order 7 items. And I got to the 5th item, and the woman thanked me for my order, and I said I wasn't done. I had 2 more things I wanted to do. And she said, well, your order's full. I can't do 2 more things. And I said, but I want 2 more things. And after we went back and forth a few more times, she sighed heavily and said, all right, give me your name. And I gave her my name. Give me your address. I gave her my address. It was a whole new order because she only had slots for 5 things for me to order. And as soon as I wanted to order a 6th, she had to start a whole new order. She had to get my name and address information, all of that information again, to do a whole new order and start over. And that's the problem with repeating groups. So what you want to do in repeating groups is, let's say I have a student, and I have the student ID number. And the student ID number is my primary key for my student. And under this, I will have the student's name, their address, their major, all those good things. But I will not put on the courses that they're taking, okay? I will then have another file set up for student courses, okay? I'll have the other file set up for student courses. And on that, I will put the student ID and the course number. I'll put on the course number so that I can now put in to this table a record for every course that the student is taking. So if the student is taking CIS 120, I will put in a record for that student's ID and CIS 120. If they are taking another course, accounting 11 or 111 or whatever it is, I will put in another record for that. If they're taking English 101, I'll put in another record for that. So if the student is taking 20 courses, there will be 20 records in there, one for each of the courses that they're taking. And that avoids having repeating groups. Okay, so I have the course number, and then I'm going to have on it some other information. Because I have a problem, I'm trying to come up with a primary key. And my primary key can be more than one field. I can combine a couple of fields to make a primary key. Because student ID can't be a primary key if there can be 20 records for the student, or 25 records, or 5 records. So student ID can't be the primary key. If I combine it with course number, then I'm getting a little more unique. I've got the student ID and I've got the course number. And as long as the student only takes the course once, we're fine. But what about if the student takes the course a second time? What about if they flunk it the first time and have to retake it? So if they have to retake it, I'm going to put in semester and year. Because that will tell the semester and year that they took the course. So now I've got a student taking a course in a particular semester and year. So that makes it unique. Because you can't take the same course twice in one semester, right? So that makes it unique. So all of these three things go together to make a primary key. Because the rule of a primary key is it has to uniquely identify one record. It has to uniquely identify one record. So the primary key here is the student ID, the course that they took, and the semester and year that they took it. Then if I want to also include the grade, the grade would come on as a field. And the rule for a relational database is that any information I carry on this table has to relate to the entire primary key. So grade relates to the student. It relates to the course that the student was taking. And it relates to the semester and year that the student was taking the course. So grade is about this student taking this course in this semester and year. And so it indeed relates to all three parts of the key. Okay? I'm not obviously going to ask you to design a database. I just want you to kind of listen to the vocabulary and be a little comfortable with it because you're going to run into it later on in other courses. Okay, so that's how I resolve the problem of I can't have repeating groups. Okay, there are two more things that I want to talk about there, but I think we're running out of time because I don't want to get halfway through those. So I'm going to call it quits at this point and we'll pick it up on Thursday. And we will do a database on Thursday.